First, we're going to look at geopolitical activities, and we're going to do that with Ken Timmerman. He's a journalist, he's an author, he's a world traveler. In fact, we were talking just before we went on the air. He said next week he'll be in France, so we'll be talking to him from the European Union. That'll be a good place to get an update from on geopolitical activities. Ken, before you take off, though, let's see if we can talk about some very important issues that are confronting not only us here in America, but in particular the Middle East, and that is the concern about the chemical and biological weapons of mass destruction in Syria at the hands of Bashar Assad, the president. The word is, and we're not quite sure if this can be confirmed or not, these weapons are on the move, possibly going to Hezbollah. What are your thoughts about these dangerous weapons of mass destruction there in Syria with the situation as it is?
Well, Jimmy, you're absolutely right to point to this. The reason that this has hit the headlines this week is because the Syrian government, in a really unusual move, has publicly acknowledged that they have chemical and biological weapons, not just chemical weapons, but also biological weapons. That's something that they've never acknowledged before. And we're hearing in the media, we're hearing intelligence sources saying that those weapons are being moved around. The United States is not clear why or where they are being moved. And the Israeli government is clearly very worried about this. If a biological weapon gets out, you only need a tiny quantity. And when I say a tiny quantity, I mean like the dregs of a drink in a glass is enough to kill thousands, if not tens of thousands of people. So these are extremely deadly weapons. They could spread a contagion within a matter of days. It would be very difficult to find it, to find out the source. And we know, for example, that the Syrians have been working with agents such as camel pox, which they're believed to have acquired from Saddam Hussein in 2003 when his regime was going down just before the U.S.-led liberation of Iraq. So this is extremely dangerous. I am worried about this. As a congressional candidate here in Maryland, I have issued a statement about this. I think that Israel would be justified should they find evidence that these weapons are being transferred. Israel would be justified, I believe, in taking them out with military strikes. And we should support Israel should Israel be required to do that.
Well, in just a moment, we'll be talking with David Dolan. He has our Middle East news update. We'll find out exactly what preparations are being made by Israel for just such an attack. Meanwhile, Ken, we understand that the Russian Navy has moved some of its warships into the Mediterranean. The United States is sending warships to that part of the world as well. Seems like there's going to be a standoff between not only the Russian Navy, the United States, but France, I understand, and other countries are sending warships to the area just off the coast of Syria.
Well, that's right. And the United States is going to be holding a major military exercise to demonstrate our capability with our allies to keep waterways open should they be mined by countries such as the Islamic Republic of Iran. The Iranians, as you know, have been threatening repeatedly to close the Strait of Hormuz. I think this is a bit of an empty threat. They could cause a lot of damage and a lot of trouble. They could probably close the strait for a day, 2 days possibly, but the U.S. Navy wants to demonstrate the ability with our allies to be able to conduct pretty rapid and effective broad-ranging mine-sweeping operations to be able to keep that waterway open. Now, the Russians have a port in the Mediterranean in Latakia in Syria. It's the only port, if you wish, that they've got in that part of the world, and they're very eager to keep it. It's one of the reasons that they are backing the Bashar Assad regime in Syria. They are not in a confrontational posture at this point, as far as I'm aware, with the U.S. military or the U.S. Navy. But they are there, and it's certainly something to keep an eye on.
And our United States Secretary of Defense, Leon Panetta, on his way to the Middle East as well, he'll stop in Egypt first, meet with the new president, Mohamed Morsi, there. I'm sure he'll meet with the leadership of the military there as well. He's going to go on to Israel, but let's talk about Egypt first. This seems like it's a very important meeting between the militaries of these two nations, Egypt and the United States.
Well, I'm very concerned about this upcoming trip of Secretary Panetta. I think the groundwork was laid during Hillary Clinton's trip to Egypt just recently. And if Panetta is following up on that. I am very concerned indeed. Hillary Clinton essentially told the Egyptian military, do not interfere with the Muslim Brotherhood president. Do not try to put down the Muslim Brotherhood in Egypt. We will live with the Muslim Brotherhood no matter what they do. And I think that's a wrong-headed policy, and it's one that essentially gives up leverage that the United States could bring to bear to keep the new Muslim Brotherhood government under some kind of control. Right now you have Mohamed Morsi, the new president, who has essentially announced that he will abrogate the 30-year-old peace treaty with Israel. Whether he does it officially or whether he does it unofficially remains to be seen, but he has no desire to maintain that peace treaty. He has also said that his goal is ultimately to impose Sharia law, which means that Christians, Christian Copts in particular, are going to have a very difficult time in the coming months and years living under Muslim Sharia law domination. So I'm very worried about this. I don't think that the United States should be providing that kind of support for the Muslim Brotherhood, but it seems to be a hallmark of the Obama administration.
You know, I am concerned as well as you about this meeting between the military leaders of both countries. But then Panetta is going to make his way into Jerusalem to meet with the Israeli leadership. And the top of the agenda is going to be the Iranian situation and also, as we were talking about earlier, the chemical and biological weapons of mass destructions moving around there in Syria. I don't believe the United States is really wanting Israel to get involved either way, are they?
Well, I think you're right, Jimmy, about that. And again, I'm very worried about an administration, the Obama administration, which complains louder about Jews building houses and apartments in their own capital, Jerusalem, than they do about Iran building nuclear weapons. I think this is fundamentally wrongheaded. I note with some satisfaction that Obama signed the U.S.-Israel Strategic Cooperation Act on Friday, and during that signing ceremony, he announced that, that the U.S. would give Israel an additional $70 million for the Iron Dome anti-missile system, but I think it's really important to help Israel with the Iron Dome system. This is very promising technology. You know, when I was in northern Israel during the 2006 war, Jimmy, everybody wished that they had had that kind of system. They had tested it before, but it wasn't operational. They wished they'd spent the money to protect Israeli cities and towns from rocket attack. That has been operational since April of last year. It's done, you know, tremendous good. It's kept Israelis safe, and we need to be engaged in that program and to help them with the funding. I fully support that.
I have to ask you, Ken, about the situation there in Saudi Arabia. King Abdullah calling for an Islamic summit. He's going to bring all the Islamic nations into Saudi Arabia, discussing the issues that are confronting them right now. I'm not certain that this is going to bode well for the Israelis, but maybe even for the rest of the world. What are your thoughts on that summit to take place early on in August?
Well, it's going to be an interesting event, and it may not bode very well for the Saudis. You know, there's a lot of tension inside the Islamic world today between Sunnis and Shias, even though quite often they get together very well when it comes to killing Jews and killing Americans. Nevertheless, they are vying for the leadership role. And you have a confrontation, an open confrontation right now between Saudi Arabia and Turkey, on the one hand, who are supporting the Syrian opposition, and the Iranian regime, which is supporting Bashar al-Assad. The Saudis have said that they would like to raise more money to help the Syrian people and probably the Syrian opposition, the Muslim Brotherhood opposition, against Bashar al-Assad. And the Iranians are going to say, well, you know, we don't want you doing that because we're supporting Bashar al-Assad. So this will be an interesting confrontational meeting, I suspect.
Ken Timmerman, he's giving us information on the geopolitical scene across this world that will help us understand how all of these events are setting the stage for Bible prophecy to be fulfilled, because every player we talked about is listed in the prophetic passages of God's Word. We'll get more on that when we take a look at the book a bit later on this broadcast. Ken, Journey's Mercies as you travel to France, and next week we'll be talking to you there in France. Thank you so much, my good friend.
I appreciate that, Jimmy, and pray for me on Tish B'Av.